Coaching Gurus International calls her one of the top 30 coaches in the world. That was an honor bestowed in 2010 alongside renowned coaches like Anthony Robbins. She's here to talk about, well, a continuation of yesterday's topic. We had Chris Gilbo on yesterday, the man behind the $100 startup, giving great advice on how you can turn your passion into a micro business or, you know, a business that can grow as large as you want it to. And when I was talking to Chris, he basically focused on living a life of value and how businesses seem to be linked with this idea of aligning your passion with what is valuable to the world at large so that you get a return of value in terms of your time and your effort that you put into things out there. So it was a very unique perspective on starting a business. So I think today we're going to have, very interestingly, a continuation of that discussion with the lovely Celestine Chua. She is the founder of Personal Excellence. She is, in my opinion, a woman of ideas. She's got very inspirational ideas in terms of how you can start up a business of your own. She herself reached for her passion with, she says, my passion from scratch with $0 capital. And she's turned it into a successful business today where 95% of her income, she tells me, is passive. We're going to learn about passive income. Welcome, Celestine.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Oh, pleasure. So, okay, everybody's ears are perked up when they heard of passive income streams and 95% of your income coming that way. Verify this for us, ground it for us. You formerly worked for Procter & Gamble in branding, brand management.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. That was 4 years ago. And I was in the company for about 2 years before I decided to quit and pursue my passion.
So when you look at your paycheck now versus paycheck when you were on the grid, how's it look?
Well, I would say 4 years of doing my business, and currently I'm proud to say that I'm earning more than I used to earn. And the great thing is that majority of the income is actually passive. So that actually gives me time to pursue what I want to do, what I love to do, and in doing things that matter, which will be growing my business and reaching out to even more people to help them to grow.
Yeah, so when did you come to this point where you knew that, okay, what I want to do is start something of my own? Because you're 28 years old.
Yes, I am.
So when you were in Procter & Gamble, you know, you're just starting out in your career.
Yep.
So what precipitated the change in values and, you know, what you're deciding you're going to do for yourself?
Mm-hmm. I would say it went all the way back in university when I was really reflecting on my life and thinking about what I really want to do in life. And I would say, like most Singaporeans, early on in my life, the goals that I have constantly worked towards were earning a lot of money, maybe $100 million, having a huge house, huge car, convertible, etc. And then when I was in university, I got my job offer 2 years before I graduated. And I was on a dean's list. I was basically achieving the goals that I had set
You're
myself
on your
up
way
to do.
To $100 million.
Yes, a little step. And I guess at that point, I just had time to think about my life and what I wanted to do. And I realized that at the end of it, even if I were to have $100 million or a huge house or a huge car, these were things that I cannot bring with me even when I pass on. And that led me to think about what is the most meaningful thing I can ever do in my life. And I realized helping people to grow, helping them to achieve their highest potential was the one thing that I felt was most meaningful that anybody could ever do. And I went to Procter & Gamble, but it was really to learn and grow because it's one of the best companies in the world. And that's what I did for the first 2 years of my career. And at the end of the 2 years, I felt, okay, I've learned a lot from this company. Now it's time to really just start off and pursue my passion. Even if I knew nothing about it, I have to start somewhere. Everyone has to start somewhere. So 2008, at the start of the financial crisis, was when I quit my very stable and well-paying job and started my business.
And you say, you think, since you started with mm-hmm. nothing when it comes to startup capital, there is yeah. no excuse for anybody else to hold themselves back from starting a career
exactly
that they want. And, mm-hmm. you know, even if it means straddling a day job now mm-hmm. and starting something on the side. You really believe this?
I definitely think so. When I started, no startup capital. I had no knowledge of the personal development industry. I had no certification, no qualifications. I knew nobody in the industry itself. I didn't know anything about the online landscape. But I always feel like as long as you let your passion drive you, there is no reason why nobody should start. I think anybody can start taking baby steps. You don't have to quit your job, but you should at least take a few steps every week and then basically work on it and see where it goes. Yeah.
What differentiates you from the other coaches out there? You're named one of the top 30 coaches in the world in 2010 alongside Anthony Robbins. That's a great accolade.
Oh, thank you.
But what do you think makes you stand out?
I would say on my blog, which is personalexcellence.co, that's where I really share myself, my personal life, in an unadulterated fashion, just purely transparently. I share my ups and downs, my disappointments, my past incidences where I felt down, or this, you know, just personal stories about myself. For example, one of the recent series I wrote on my site was about my history of anger, because I grew up in a household of anger, and that led me to have a lot of experiences which are not necessarily positive. And then I wrote on my site on how I addressed and overcame that. Yeah. Another series I had on my site before was about my relationship with my parents, which is not exactly ideal, and how I grew up just basically wishing that I had this idealized picture of how I wanted to be with my family, and I never could achieve that. And then I realized that this was just an image I had in my head, and the relationship I have with my parents have always been perfect all along, and it was only because I was holding on to that expectation that it wasn't.
So do you think by putting yourself forward, if you think of yourself as a brand, mm-hmm. as a coach who openly acknowledges that she is broken and maybe mm-hmm. imperfect,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
has helped in terms of how people can relate to you?
Yeah, I just think being relatable has definitely helped people to relate to me, and I always feel like there's perfection and imperfection, that all of us are perfect. Whatever we are now, we are perfect as we are. And it's about achieving a vision of ourselves that we endorse, and not achieving an image that others have of us. That's the most important.
Celestine Chua is my guest in the WOW Club. We're going to talk about reaching for personal excellence. So we're going to start our little circle here, and we're going to open phone lines, ask you to call through with your questions. If you think you have barriers to reaching for, I don't know, doubling your income, job of your dreams, mate of your dreams, sky's the limit. Okay, Celestine, we're going to ask people to call through with whatever goals they have in mind that they feel they can't reach, and maybe get some advice from you.
I will be happy to share what I can.
Live here on the WOW Club. Stay tuned. She's spoken at Wharton. She's been named one of the top 30 coaches in the world, and she's the founder of Personal Excellence. Celestine Chua joins me in the WOW Club today. We're finding out about what you need to do to reach for personal excellence. And I think I want to start this particular segment by talking a little bit about your philosophy when it comes to coaching, because we tried to talk about that a little bit earlier. I know I asked you what differentiates you, and off air, you clarified that for me. So tell me a little bit about your view that as a coach, you lead the answers and not give the answers.
Definitely. I always feel like everyone has the answers in them to achieve whatever it is they want. And I always see myself not as someone who knows more than other people, but simply a guide, a conduit to ask the questions and bring the answers out in every one of us.
So if you have questions for Celestine, you can give us a ring, 669-11938. You know, I don't usually do this. But here we are opening up the WOW Club so that you can get a personal coaching session with Celestine. And so people come to you for all sorts of reasons, right? There was a man who came wondering how he could improve his income.
Yep, that was. This guy, he's European, and he was earning 4,000 euros a month. And he personally, he's an investor. He runs his own personal investment business. So he wanted to increase his income, ideally $10,000 a month, euros. So then I did a coaching session with him, a series of coaching sessions. And through the sessions, I realized that he was actually spending a lot of his time on lower value activities, say checking Facebook, checking emails multiple times a day, even though he didn't have to. And he was also spending a lot of time trying to help people for free, even though they weren't asking him for help, and even though they were not reciprocating his efforts. So that made him really frustrated. So then I just asked him this very simple question. I just asked him, hey, do you actually value your time? And he was stumped for a few seconds. And he realized, wow, actually, I don't. I don't value my time. And that is precisely why I've been just freely using my time to help people, even though they don't appreciate it. Then after addressing that barrier, we then worked on clarifying his personal identity, clarifying his personal goals. And then from there, working on the goals and the action steps that were aligned with those goals of his.
So if a person feels they're not earning enough, mm-hmm. is a good place to start looking seriously at their mm-hmm. time?
It could be. I would say whatever dissatisfactions we have in our life right now are projections of inner conflicts inside us. and it's about understanding what are those inner conflicts to create the sustainable permanent change.
So for example, this could be unhappiness in any area of your life. It doesn't necessarily have to be your job where you're feeling a barrier in. Mm-hmm. Can you give us another example? Maybe of a client that's come to you and you've helped them work through a barrier?
Okay. I would say there was another client. Oh, by the way, for the first client I mentioned just now, he then earned 10,000 euros a month after 9 months.
Oh, happy ending. Yeah, like
it was a great ending. And the other, another example I have is this female businesswoman. She came to me and one of her goals was to lose weight. Now, a lot of us know, I mean, technically, if you want to lose weight, basically just eat less or exercise more, right? Everyone knows that. But why is it that so many people are still having problems losing weight? So then we worked on that barrier, that goal, and I tried to understand like what were the obstacles. And basically, it boiled down to her subconsciously not wanting to lose weight because she was afraid she would attract unwanted male attention when she was more beautiful and slimmer. So it was a really subconscious underlying belief that was preventing her from progressing that. And then we addressed that barrier. We worked through all the resistances, which included childhood memories and experiences. And after that, she just snapped, just lost a few kg the next month after.
Wow, that's a wow moment right there.
Yeah, but it basically alludes to the fact that a lot of the difficulties we might be having with our goals today is because of inner resistances. And if we have been trying to work on the external goals for a while but have not been achieving any results, then probably it's time to stop dealing with it on the surface symptomatic level, but really look deep inside us to understand what's blocking us.
I absolutely agree with you on that point.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people think, okay, if it's about earning more money, it just means that I have to work harder. And then they push themselves and they find themselves even more tired, trying to pack as much as they can into a life.
Exactly.
When really it's about how can people identify these inner conflicts? And is this something they can do for themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think self-reflection is very important. So I find that a lot of us, you know, probably in Singapore, we are very busy in our lives and we have so many things on our to-do list every day that every day is just like a rat race trying to get everything done. And we don't really spend time for our own me time and self-reflection on what exactly are our priorities, our goals, and really living true to that. So it becomes a situation where we are just donning on different hats, but we're not being ourselves, we're not living true to that. So I would say taking some time out for self-reflection, really knowing what are your goals, your personal priorities, and asking yourself, are you currently living true to that, will be a great start.
So your goal should always be a North Star.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's the point of frustration for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They know what that goal is,
okay,
but somehow they're not reaching it and they can't quite identify it for themselves. You know, I think Einstein said you can't think your way out the same problem, you know, if you're on that same level of consciousness or awareness.
Exactly.
So, which is why my question was, can you do this for yourself? Mm-hmm. How can somebody lift themselves, you know,
out from the ruts that they're
almost
in?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say, if the person already knows his or her goals, then understanding what are the blockages or barriers to that goal at the moment would definitely help. So let's say if someone is currently a mom and having kids and being very busy in a corporate job, but that job isn't something that she wants, and ideally she really wants to pursue her passion, say in writing novels. Okay, so, and that is something that she wants to do. Understanding what are the 2-3 blockages at the moment, and then creating a concrete action plan to address those barriers, and basically just starting out with baby steps would help. Perhaps a lot of us are perfectionists. We're always thinking, okay, I'm only going to wait for the perfect moment, perfect time before I do any of this. And I think the most important thing is to realize it doesn't have to be that way. I started out with my blog. It was not perfect. My first article was not perfect. And the way I did it was probably not the same way that I would do it if I were to restart. But it doesn't matter. It got me rolling. And then from there, I learned and I made it better. And I think that's the same thing everyone else should do. Just look at it as a progressive journey and not as something that you have to do it right the first time. Because we learn from the things that we do wrongly.
In fact, that pretty much answers my next question, which was about let's tie things down. I think procrastination is a major problem for a lot of people.
Yep.
And we can get more into that in a while. When we come back on the WOW Club, you know, she looks like she's an expert in passive income. She says 95% of her income is passive. And I know a lot of people want to think about building streams of income that come their way with as little, you know, investment in terms of their time, because they're already tied up with so many other pulls, draws on your time. So we're going to learn about passive income flows and creating it just for yourself in the WOW Club. Stay tuned. Celestine Chua is one of the top 30 coaches in the world. That was an honor bestowed by Coaching Gurus International in 2010, and that ranked her alongside coaches like Anthony Robbins. I've had a wonderful time chatting with her. I think I've called her Master Manifester. That's my nickname for you, Celestine.
Oh, you're so sweet, Michelle.
Master Manifester. I mean, who can manifest 7 months of traveling around the world just by pure chance? Give us a brief outline of how that happened.
Okay, sure. Last year, I was creating my vision board for the year. And in April, I was putting the pictures on the vision board. And one of the pictures that I put on were pictures of Europe, US, because I had never been in Europe and US at that time. And as it turned out, in June, I was invited to speak in Amsterdam for a conference and training. And after I got there, I decided, okay, since I've never been in Europe, I'm just going to make it an open trip and see where it's going to take me. And then after that, my readers from around the world started inviting me to their places. So from Holland, I went to Germany, Paris, Spain, London. And when I was in London, I was invited to speak in Wharton, which is in Philadelphia, US. And then I went to US, and then I went East Coast, New York, Boston.
Congratulations.
Washington,
I can barely pack for 7 months. to have an open trip extend in such a beautiful way and just unfold to 7 months of traveling around Europe and
very
the US.
Serendipitous.
Yes, wonderful. Mm-hmm. You have 1 million page views on your blog?
Yes, I do. Every month.
You build that up from scratch.
Yes,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Nothing when you left your corporate job.
Definitely.
Celestine, by the way, earns much more than what she would be earning in her corporate job right now. And she's here to tell us about reaching for personal excellence. A lot of people are self-help junkies. Mm-hmm. They go to the bookshelves. They pick up a self-help book thinking the silver bullet is in here. The secret for success is here. If only I can get the right formula. Mm-hmm. And then they're inevitably disappointed when the high dissipates. Mm-hmm. So is it a philosophy that you are hoping to share with individuals, or do you yourself look at different systems of coaches around the world and try to coalesce that? Mm-hmm. What are you sharing with the world?
Okay. I would say with regards to self-help junkies, it's good to learn, it's good to read and get knowledge. But at the end of the day, ask yourself, how are you translating that knowledge into results or action? And I think the habit of having metrics of success in your own life, the results that you work towards, constantly tracking and reviewing whether you're on track is very important. Otherwise, we can easily fall into a trap where we're just reading maybe one book, two books every day. But if nothing happens at the end of the month, basically nothing's happening.
So it's action.
Action.
That's important. But also, you were sharing with me a little while ago that you believe that the answers reside within. And I think that the very act of reaching for a self-help book sometimes indicates that you believe that you're flawed in some way.
Right.
And so you need a solution, and you believe that solution is outside yourself.
Right.
And you believe that we have all the answers.
I definitely think that all of us have answers in us. In fact, I personally don't read books at all. I think it's fine to read books. I personally prefer to learn by taking action.
I prefer if you read some fiction. I'm going to have you read some fiction after this, but go ahead.
I'll be happy to read that. But basically, I believe that all of us have answers in us, and it's fine to read books as long as you take that knowledge and put it into action. And the starting from that place is important, because otherwise we can easily fall into a place of dependency on other people for answers, or relegating control of our life into, you know, the supposed quote-unquote gurus, etc. I think at the end of the day, know that you are the owner of your life, you have all the answers in you, and you have the power to do whatever it is that you want.
But I think people listening in would be thinking, if I had all the answers, why is my life not quite at that stage where I want it to be? And your advice would be, look at your beliefs. So let's ground it in an example for somebody.
Okay.
We hear a lot of people saying, you know, you need to look at your beliefs, question them, rewrite them for yourself in order to move forward. So if somebody grew up in an abusive household, and the fact of the matter is there was abuse, and it's difficult, and that's led to a certain trajectory. So we're not talking about ignoring that abuse.
Definitely.
Or rewriting that story in a way that is not authentic to the facts, right?
Mm-hmm. Every situation that happens, there's always the fact, what exactly happened, and there's always the conclusions, our beliefs. It's important to understand what exactly happened, and to know that the beliefs that you form are the result of your own thinking and may not necessarily be reflective. So if you ever have beliefs from a past situation like an abusive household, that is actually holding yourself back. for example, a child grew up in an abusive household, then started thinking, okay, nobody loves me. I will never find someone who loves me. My dad or mom hates me, and I'll always be alone. And this may stop him from, say, forming good relationships with other people. It may make him reclusive or antisocial. But his goal is to be with someone, and his goal is to have great friends. So then it's important to then understand what are the beliefs that are blocking him from achieving those goals, and then to go back to those childhood incidences and understand the facts as facts and walk away with beliefs that actually empower him or her in his goals.
And I can think of one of my guests who's done that so beautifully, Jolene. And if you head to our podcast page, you can hear Jolene's story. She's really, faced up to the abuse in her past and yet moved on to a beautiful future for herself at the age of 22. I'm still very moved by speaking with her. Now, let's talk about some beliefs that can hold people back in the area of developing passive income. I promise people we talk about that because, 95% of your income, you tell me, is passive. That is a dream for a lot of people.
It definitely is.
So how do we get started?
Okay, I think first thing is passive income basically means that your time is not tied to income. Yep, that when you're doing other things, income is coming in. So the first thing is to not tie your time with income. Pursue streams of income where you don't need to exchange your time for the money. So for example, in my business model, advertising makes up a big chunk of my income. And with advertising, I don't have to be there. The advertising money comes by itself from the page views. Another thing I do is having e-products, e-courses. And these are products that I create. I invest the time to create it once, put it on my site and on my platform, and it's there for sale forever. I don't have to be involved in it anymore. So these are two big chunks of my passive income where my time is not tied to the money itself. So that's my first tip. My second tip would be to have multiple streams of income because it can be quite pressurizing to expect one source of income to give you all your needs, but instead it's like say in a big sea, there's usually many little rivers that bring water to that sea itself. And with multiple streams of income, you're doing the same thing. You want to create many possible channels for money to flow to you and not rely on just one stream to give you that income. So erecting multiple streams of income will be very important. I think the third tip at the end of the day, give value. Because money is value. If people are not giving you money, it's because they don't feel you're giving value to them. So focus on giving value through the streams of income that you're erecting. Yep.
That's great. So in terms of the products that are out there, the products that you provide, for example, mm-hmm. your core products are not about teaching people to make money, which we discuss, we see
definitely
a lot of out there.
Yeah, they are about personal development. Say I have a program which is Live a Better Life in 30 Days. So a 30-day program on how they can live a better life after just 1 month. Or say a program on emotional eating. I think a lot of women face problems with emotional eating, binge eating, comfort food. And I have a 4-week program which basically teaches how people can break themselves out of that problem.
How did you decide on which of these products to come up with?
Mm-hmm. I would say based on my reader needs and based on what I feel are the biggest blockages people have towards living their highest potential and their best lives.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So have we covered all those blockages?
I would say, yeah, a good deal. Procrastination, beliefs, passive
income. We haven't covered procrastination just yet,
a
actually.
A little bit, yeah, okay.
We touched on it a little bit, but since we brought it up, yes, yeah. Because we find that a lot of where we think about value or earnings or happiness in life is tied to how you use your time.
Yeah, definitely.
And a lot of people know what they have to do on their to-do list, but somehow cannot get themselves to maybe do what they should be doing as best they can. Mm-hmm. And procrastination is a real issue. Yep. So how would you deal with that?
Okay, I would say any situation where someone procrastinates can be narrowed down to two big factors. First is a lack of desire. The second would be due to fear. So if any point someone feels like the person is procrastinating, understand, okay, is it because I have a lack of desire or is it because there's presence of fear? Usually it's a combination of both factors. Then play up on the desire, like go back to understanding, why do I want to do this goal? So if you're procrastinating or writing that book you've always wanted to write, why do you want to write the book? Who do you want to reach out to? What kind of difference do you want to make in their lives? Maybe you forgot about that reason and that's why you're procrastinating. The second driver will be fear. So maybe the fear is, oh, I'm afraid publishers will reject the book, or I'm afraid that nobody wants to read it or it won't sell well. Then address that fear. Understand from people who have been successful in releasing their books, how did they do it? how did they get their publisher to accept their proposal and get people to buy it, then that will also reduce the fear. So increasing your desire, reducing your fear would ultimately lead to the person naturally taking action on the goals.
That's very well done, I have to say. Now, you know I like to pack as much value into my shows as possible. So I think the flip side of procrastination issues is productivity issues.
Yes.
And you have a lovely rule that you'd like to share.
Definitely. I would say it's the 80-20 rule. And basically, all of us have so many things that we do every single day. And it can be like 101 things. I feel the key to productivity is understanding what are the 20% things that makes the most difference in our lives. So if everyone can just today write down everything that you're supposed to do today, then circle those 20% things that actually makes the most difference in your life today if you do them well and focus on them, that would make such a big change in your life. And then just apply the 80-20 rule every single day. I do that for myself and it has created a huge change in my life, brought a lot of results for lesser effort.
You know, the show is called Women of Worth. Thank you for helping us bring more worth into every minute of our lives. And you certainly are a woman of worth. Celestine Chua, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Michelle.